This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Measurement in the out-of-home advertising industry used to be as low-tech as people with clickers, parked on roadsides and busily counting the cars going by. That would give media companies a really basic sense of how many eyeballs might see a billboard in a given time period. The out-of-home industry has long since matured, and a lot of it is now digital and much more varied than billboards, entrance or shelter posters. Measurement has also matured in a big way and has grown super sophisticated. Out-of-home media is very much a for-profit business, but a key player on the tech measurement side is actually a non-profit, supported by hundreds of companies in the ecosystem. Geopath is populated by data scientists and site auditors who do audience location measurement based on a pile of different data sources, the biggest one being aggregated anonymous data from smartphones. Geopath's tools, which are used by media owners and brands, help build a current view on the mobility, behavior, and attributes of out-of-home audiences. A lot of this stuff is way the hell over my head, but thankfully, Geopath's president, Kim Frank, is very good and very patient at explaining things to knuckleheads like me. So, Kim, for those people who don't know much about Geopath, can you explain what it is and how does it work?
Sure. So Geopath is a really unique organization. We've been around since the 1930s. We were formed as a joint initiative between the OAAA, which is the Industry Association for Out-of-Home Advertising, the ANA, which is the Association of National Advertisers, and the 4As, which is the Association for Agencies. So we have existed since the 1930s with the sole objective of measuring out-of-home, digital out-of-home, and all its formats advertising. We're a nonprofit, and we are still to this day governed collectively by agencies, advertisers, and the media owners themselves.
So being a nonprofit, I assume you're funded by your members?
We are. So each of our members pays dues to our organization that support the development of our measurement system and the maintenance of our measurement system itself. So it's a really great setup because everybody just pays a fraction of the cost to develop these metrics. Mm-hmm. And then they are able to be, you know, universally used by the entire buying community across all the different formats that we measure.
So who would be typical members?
So we have a lot of out-of-home members from, you know, the big operators like Clear Channel, Lamar, and Outfront, all the way down the line to some small members who have, you know, three or four billboards maybe. We also have agency members, so big holding company agencies down to independent local specialists. And then we also have some advertiser members as well. In fact, our executive committee has representation from Coca-Cola and representation from Constellation Brands, which is the brand that owns the Corona brand. And so we have grown quite a bit. In 2015, when I joined, we had 180 member companies. And as of today, we're at approximately 390 members.
Nice. You've doubled it.
Yeah.
And then some. So I'm sure you tell the board about that, right?
I do. All the time.
Is there a for-profit competitor, like a company out there that has data that you would pay for and measurement that you would pay for?
Sure. So we don't say we have competitors. We say we have friend competitors.
That's as bad as decorating.
Yeah. So Geopath provides currency level measurement. And I would say we probably measure 95% of the industry. But there are other kinds of measurement that are out there, right? People might want to understand how their campaign performed in terms of conversions. So did our mall ads drive people to make a purchase? So there are a lot of other companies out there that are doing that kind of measurement for sure.
So that's more on the analytics side, right?
Right, absolutely. Okay. So more custom solutions, things along those lines. There's a lot of technology out there that's measures things in different ways. Like I know you and I have spoken about, you know, facial detection technology and people who are connecting to the individual devices. So there's a lot of different methodologies out there.
This will seem like a really obvious question, but I'm going to ask it anyways because I'm not very bright. Why do media companies need measurement?
That is a good question. So, you know, advertisers across channels, this is not an out-of-home problem. Advertisers across channel want to understand, what did my campaign deliver? Or, you know, on the front end, what should I be buying with my advertising dollars, and how much of it should I be buying, so that they can understand the scale of a campaign that they're purchasing. Are they reaching the right people? Are they reaching enough people? How many times are those people being reached by my ads? It's really important to advertisers.
And in the old days, and by old, I mean like 10, 15, 20 years ago, even that recent, a lot of out-of-home was just measured by kind of like gross audience counts, right? Like highway traffic or foot traffic meters, that sort of thing.
So when I joined the organization, the legacy metrics, a lot of that was coming from rubber hoses in the road, like Department of Transportation traffic counts. So nowadays we're able to use things like connected car data and mobile device data, but that was not available. So yes, they were using manual counts. In fact, if you go way back in time, we used clickers. So people would stand under a billboard with a clicker in their hand and count the number of cars that went by in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same thing in shopping malls, right? There'd be somebody there with a clipboard just clicking away.
Yep.
It's amazing. So is good audience measurement something that just validates making a media investment, or is it used to also kind of optimize the investment that you're making, that you've already decided, I'm going to be in this market, I'm going to do these things, but I want to know a hell of a lot more about the audience, and then tune the media and tune the campaign so I get more out of it?
Absolutely. Optimization is key. And it's a lot of what we've been working on since I joined the organization. You know, when I joined, we had the ability to target pretty standard demographics. So I'm interested in reaching, you know, women 18 to 34. But since we've updated our measurement system, we now include information across 8,000 different audience types. So you're able to understand, you know, which units should I be advertising on if I want to build a campaign to reach people who are likely to be buying a new car within the next 12 months. It's really changed the way out of home is bought more as an audience channel than as a location vehicle. Now, both are still very important because you want to reach people in the right location, but you also want to make sure you're reaching the right people.
Right. And where does the data come from? You mentioned geolocation data from mobile phones, but there's a whole mashup of things you use, right?
Right. We have a data fusion engine is what we call it. We take a number of different kinds of data sets. There's just no silver bullet that does everything. So we combine a number of different data sets for what they are best at. So we are using mobile device data. That's typically data that's captured by apps that people have opted in to have their location tracked on their phones. That's all anonymized and aggregated, so we're not ever following around one unique device or anything along those lines. We get data from connected cars. We have data from HERE Maps. We still do validate against some DOT traffic information and real-time data that's available from other sources. We're partnered with Claritas. That's survey data for some audience targeting. It's a huge data stack and a lot of modeling that goes on to develop the product that we provide to our members.
And are things like census data also important?
Absolutely. In fact, I know that the census has been very troubled due to COVID. But
and a guy at 1600 Pennsylvania.
Well, I didn't say that. No. But yes, the census has been very challenged, but it's very important, not just for Geopath, but it is something that is utilized across pretty much everyone who does any kind of survey that's population level. So really very important.
Yeah, it's, I think you've said in the past that the best data that you get if you had to look at all the different elements is the mobile data, right?
Correct. That is the biggest piece of what we build.
If I have a media network, an out-of-home media network of some kind, and I don't know, let's say I'm in hospital waiting rooms or whatever, if I don't have some degree of measurement, if I'm not part of Geopath, right, if I don't have that kind of data available, will a media planner even look at my network?
I think so. I mean, it certainly helps, 100% helps to have data attached to it. And it has to be data, you know, that the buyer feels comfortable with. But there are certainly strategies that would involve using a network that maybe does not have a level of currency. The fact is, though, when you're talking about a network along those lines, while they may not have impression data or reach and frequency data, usually everyone has some kind of first-party data. You may know if you're a hospital network how many patients you have. You may know if you're at a gas station how many receipts are generated. So there's always some kind of data available, but certainly a currency data, an impressions data, a reach and frequency data, that's what a buyer is really looking for.
Yeah, you mentioned currency data a few times now. Could you explain what that is? Because I'll be honest, I'm not totally certain what you mean by that.
Sure. So when we say we measure currency, it's really because those are the impressions that are being bought and sold for the channel. Every channel has its own kind of currency. So a lot of it's measured by Nielsen, which you may be familiar with here in the United mm-hmm. States, measures television. And so then we provide that currency for out of home.
And is there a challenge with there being different currencies and having some sort of a common currency?
And that's exactly why Geopath was created, was to provide a common currency across all of the different formats of out of home. So prior to the generation of this organization, every different operator had their own sets of numbers, and they were not, it was impossible for a buyer to put them together. Because we have built such a large database of all of these different operators' inventory, it makes it really much, much easier for a buyer to go in and say, okay, well, I bought inventory across 30 different operators, but I know what it delivered collectively because the currency is very common. And that's really come a long way because as we've recently announced, we launched in-venue measurement. So prior to this past year, Geopath was not measuring things like airports and malls and bars and restaurants, but we were able to stand that up, and we look forward to our buyers really being able to buy, you know, a package of roadside inventory and combine the data with in mall or in bar or in airport and get a comprehensive number.
Yeah, I mean, those are two very different dynamics when you're talking about highway billboards or spectaculars in big cities, and then talking about screens and bars and all that. Like that must have been quite an exercise to figure out how you equate all these different kinds of mediums in one platform.
Right. And every network is very different, right? So yeah. We have partners who have jukeboxes in bars, and then we have partners who have very large screens inside of transit hubs. And measuring each one of those is very different. We measure every screen, every spot. We audit them all. It's pretty complicated, but you know, it's the only thing we do. It's our priority. So we want to make sure we're doing it right.
So when you say it's the only thing you do, like, do you have a bunch of data scientists working for you?
I sure do.
Those people are expensive.
I have a team of auditors. So we really do have two products, right? So we audit the inventory. So we have to make sure it's where they say it is, that the signs are the size that's been reported. We measure the angle to oncoming traffic, whether that's foot traffic or oncoming car traffic. We measure all of the different places where a sign can be seen from. So that's really step number one. So I have a team of auditors also who spend a lot of time looking at inventory and just making sure that it's in the right place. So we have an audited inventory database that has millions of locations across the country in it. And then we measure those units. And that's really the data scientists.
Right. So if you weren't doing an audit, what's your read on how accurate the network representation would be?
It really depends on the network. So we just really did a whole re-audit of everything we measure on roadside. And, back in the day when people would report which direction their units were facing, for instance, like if you think about a billboard on the side of a highway and the highway is, let's say it's 80 east and the unit was facing, it was on the westbound side, they might say it was a westbound facing unit. But now when we go in, we actually can go into like satellite imagery and look at that unit and say, okay, it's not actually perpendicular to the roadway. It's not actually facing that one direction, and get it to the exact degree. So the reason that's important is if you're approaching a unit on a highway, we want to know at what point in time can you see that unit so that we can accurately measure how many impressions it's delivering.
Yeah, I'm up in Canada and in Nova Scotia, which is just all forest. It's like Maine or New Hampshire or whatever. And when we go down to see our daughter, she lives about 40 minutes south of us, and there's a Wendy's billboard that I've seen for the last two or three years, and wondered if they're selling this to Wendy's because you can just see the top of it because all the trees have grown up at a level. And I'm sure if they were looking at that and wondering, why am I paying for this? Because nobody can see this unless they just recognize the colors and go, okay, that's a Wendy's billboard back there somewhere.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really do. We take into account exactly how long oncoming traffic. And, it gets even more important, Dave, is when there's a digital unit that is showing multiple ads, right? Mm-hmm. So how many of those ads can someone see as they're approaching the unit becomes a really important part of our measurement system.
So the audits that you do in the height of a pandemic, how do you do that? Is it all using satellite and, asking people in local areas to go on site and take photos?
So we do use photo sheets from our members. Almost always have photos of their mm-hmm. inventory because they share them with advertisers after a campaign, right? Mm-hmm. So we take those photos, but then we do use satellite imagery. And, there's some really great information in Google Maps now. We can actually pretend we're in a car, right?
Yeah.
Within Google Maps and kind of drive down the road and go, okay, at this point in time, this is when you can start to see that unit. And once the car passes, this location, you can no longer see it. So we've been really empowered by Bing and Google developing these great map technologies.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
We've been on a number of roundtables over the last few months for different things, and you've spoken a number of times about how things have been going through COVID-19 and how, you measure movement of people and activity in general. And there was certainly a dip, but it seems to me the last time we were talking and from stuff I was looking at, it's kind of come back to really pre-COVID levels of activity, right?
Correct. So when we're talking about the number of people who are leaving their houses on a daily basis, mm-hmm. we are, in the 75 to 76% of people are going out on any given day. Usually that would be closer to the low 80s. So there is a little bit of a dip. And then the miles that people are traveling nationally, we are at 92%, I believe, this week versus the week prior to COVID impacting traffic in March. So there's a little bit of a way to go. What I think is really interesting about the data is it varies significantly market by market. And it varies depending upon where a market you are looking at, right? So New York was obviously very severely impacted, but there's places in the country where traffic's actually higher now than it would have been in March.
And has that kind of measurement been important for both the media owners and the brands to understand that, yes, you may have this sense that we're in lockdown and nobody's going out or anything else, but here's the data that says otherwise?
100%. So one of the reasons we put the data out, and we really thought it was going to be a very temporary situation back in March, one of the reasons we put it out was people were saying things like, there's no one on the road. And we knew that was completely not true. There were people on the road. In fact, there was quite a number of people that were out on the road. So we try to avoid that focus group of one phenomenon where people go, well, I was driving yesterday and there seemed to be less cars. So we put those data out. And it's funny because I was having a conversation with my counterpart at our radio company who said that he's using the Geopath data to combat the same kind of conversations that he was having with advertisers and brands who were saying, you know, there's nobody on the road, so no one's listening to radio. And he said, we go in with the Geopath data, we say, no, look, there really are people on the road. So it's been a huge benefit for our channel to have access to those data in near real time. And I really do have to thank so many people who helped us get that solution up off the ground super fast. We had an entire committee of some of the smartest people in the industry working alongside of us as things were getting really pretty ugly in the country back in the springtime, who really helped collectively stand up something that was very reliable, very stable, and very fast.
The industry as a whole, you know, you've got a lot of brands who, particularly retail brands, who have been really struggling, and other ones that have done well through all of this. Have you seen a shift in buying and investment in media at all, or is it just kind of sluggish, like most things are sluggish these days?
I think every channel has been impacted. You know, advertisers are more cautious with their dollars right now. So we certainly felt impacted as a channel, but things are starting to look up for us. And I think the same is true, and whether you're looking at television or radio or print, we're all just kind of coming out of this dip now. And then looking forward to next year, we've got some pretty good projections, it looks like, out of home. We'll bounce back. So really excited about that.
I still get emails and phone calls from startup companies all the time who want to do or are planning to do or are in the early throes of doing a place-based network in some sort of defined venue, whether it's groceries or, I don't know, ski resorts. I'm making stuff up at this point, but are there pieces of advice that you provide? And also, do you have insights on what of those startup networks have a better shot than others?
Yeah. So we always suggest, and we're happy to kind of give some advice to folks if they want to give us a ring before they put the screens up and before they put the signage up, to just understand what are the best places, locations, angles to optimize reaching people prior to making the investment. Like, we have a lot of information on duration of ads and duration of content and how to optimize that kind of stuff from a mathematical perspective before you make an investment in putting up inventory. We can get access to that information because we're measuring so much already. So one of the things we're working on right now is curating norms so that we can understand if you're going to put, you know, inventory up in a bar or a restaurant, what kind of impressions can you expect to deliver so that people can really figure out, okay, before I put the investment down, is this going to be worth it? Am I putting the screens in the right places? Am I running the right kind of ad durations and ad spots? And I think also to reach out to people who own that kind of inventory and talk to them and say, like, how is your network performing before they go in. So I think the out-of-home industry really is a pretty unified industry where everybody recognizes that we can't compete with each other. We need to compete for ad dollars, but when we compete with each other, we just don't do as well. So it's an industry where there's a lot of people who are very generous with their time and very willing to help.
Yeah, and I think that's important because I've run into so many early stage business models where it's just all about the venue. And this idea that, well, all, let's say bars, and there's so many liquor brands out there, and there's all these craft ones and so on. So there's so much money available for advertising, and then they start this thing up and realize, oh my God, advertising is actually pretty hard.
Right. And the making the choice between being a local network versus a national network or somewhere in between is also something to really think about. You know, are you going to be selling every screen you own to the same advertiser, or are you going to be splitting that up and selling it regionally or locally? Because that has an impact on how you staff your sales team, for instance, and, you know, how you structure your network.
Yeah, you going back to mobile location data and the whole fuss about privacy, there was a another instance up here in Canada a couple of weeks ago. The Canada's privacy commissioner went after a big shopping mall operator, saying, you know, you were invading consumer privacy by using anonymous video analytics. And I went off on that because it said right in their own report that it was anonymous. So what was the big deal? When it comes to mobile location data, have you had to tread carefully around using that and how you present it? Or do people just kind of take it as a matter of course?
Yeah. So there's two things in that question, right? There's the, what are you doing? And are you doing it responsibly? And then there's the, are you speaking about it responsibly? And I know I sound like a total broken record about that because I get concerned when people say they're doing things to sound, you know, super sophisticated and tech savvy, and then they get you in trouble because, you know, you're talking about what you're doing in a way that's just not responsible. So when we built our system, we built it in such a way that it was as responsible as humanly possible, so much so that, like, you know, we probably went to the extreme because it's so important that our currency not step over the line, right? So we built it deliberately to not cross over any lines. But then when we speak about it, it's again like a broken record. You almost always hear me say, well, it's aggregated and anonymized. In fact, I think the vast bulk of our members probably say it aggregated and anonymized multiple times per day because it's now been so drilled into us that we are in the public space and we want to make sure that people know we're not doing anything that that people should be concerned about.
Is it a case where you see less of a fuss from consumers because they've already made that bargain, so to speak, if they're going to use Uber or something else that absolutely requires location for it to work effectively, that, okay, we've signed off on that, we're okay with that, versus cameras on an out-of-home display that they're saying, well, we didn't sign off on that, so that's terrible, but the anonymized data that comes off of a phone, we're okay with that.
Yeah, you know, online has been doing it for so long and people are so used to it. You know, I was shopping for shoes and then the pair of shoes I looked at has now been following me around on my on my browser for a week. I think people just accept that that's the case. The camera thing, I know you and I have had this conversation a multitude of times. We do not really use any kind of camera technology. If we have a member who has cameras installed, we will take their data as a calibration point, but we don't actively use that ourselves. But it makes me kind of laugh that people get upset by, you know, facial detection technology, because everybody had VHS tapes with cameras running in every retail location across America, and no one ever really got upset about it. But suddenly there's a technology that actually makes it more responsible because you're not recording people as they're shopping, and for some reason that makes people upset.
Do you not use the computer vision stuff more so because it's an analytical tool as opposed to an audience measurement tool?
Well, for us, it's just not scalable. We measure millions of locations across the country. So some of those locations don't even have electricity running to them, right? And some of those locations, that's not allowed. And it's just not a scalable technology if you're measuring millions of locations.
Mm-hmm. Are there mountains, so to speak, that you're still trying to climb in terms of amassing more data and developing even deeper insights?
Certainly. The conversation about recency, so how recent do the data need to be, and at what cadence does it need to be reported? So those are conversations that are more business implications than data implications. That we're having with our membership, because, you know, out of home is typically still bought in 4-week cycles. So do we need daily data? And a lot of this has gotten escalated by the increasing footprint of programmatic buying that's happening in our channel. Mm-hmm. So it's pushing us forward. Certainly COVID has pushed us forward from an evolutionary standpoint on data. Because everybody wants to know, well, what's going on with COVID last week, not 3 months ago. So that is certainly, on the forefront for us. And then I think as a channel, less of a Geopath issue, but more of a channel, is demonstrating the true value that out-of-home can bring to an advertiser or a brand, how we can drive increases in purchase and how we can drive foot traffic. And again, I say that's not a Geopath problem. We don't really do attribution or campaign effectiveness. Mm-hmm. And to say it's an out-of-home problem is not true either. It's a media problem. So every channel needs to find ways to demonstrate its value. And I think it's hard for everyone. You know, how do you demonstrate that somebody listened to a radio ad and then made a purchase? So connecting those dots, it's a media challenge.
Do you see a time when there'll be a demand to have real-time data being used for out-of-home?
I think near real-time, certainly. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we need to know what happened an hour ago, but certainly we would like to know as recently as possible. Right now, it's also, there's just data costs associated with processing that level of data. So we have to make an assessment on the return on investment in investing in that level of data for everyone who's using the data. Is it worth it to invest in storing, processing, and accessing that level of data? I don't think we're quite there yet.
Right. So last question, what should we be seeing out of Geopath in the next year?
So Geopath is in a pretty big R&D phase right now with our insights committee, really trying to answer the questions that we were just discussing. So what levers do we need to pull for the next 5 years to fuel the next 5 years of growth for out of home? So we're having those conversations now. I think we're going to continue to grow our membership. We have a constant stream of new networks coming online in venue. We're doing doctor's offices now. We're doing grocery stores. So I think the other interesting thing that's happening right now is the question of what constitutes an out-of-home network. So that line is very much blurring for us. We're seeing a lot of wrapped cars. We're seeing stuff that used to be shopper marketing type networks now coming over to the out-of-home side. And then there's also what typically would have been considered television, but a television in a location like a bar or a restaurant. And we're starting to measure those now too. So what constitutes out-of-home is, I think, the big question.
So is that media owners for people who do things like shopper marketing and so on, following the money?
I think following the money, but also following the data. You know, because we have the ability to measure those networks, It's like a best of both worlds for them, right? Maybe they weren't being considered for an out-of-home buy in the past because they were shopper marketing, but now they can also put metrics behind what they're providing on the shopper marketing side.
All right, Kim, thank you very much. That was great.
Well, thank you so much. Really honored to be a part of this.
Honored, wow.
Yeah.
you obviously lead a sheltered life.
Well, recently, for sure.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.